2021. Escambia County deputies say 40-year-old Jennifer Barnes is charged with failure to redeliver a vehicle and grand theft of a motor vehicle. Investigators say Barnes rented a 26-foot U-Haul truck for one day from Eagle Rider's motorcycle on North W. That was on May 17th, 2021. That vehicle then was never returned and reported stolen. January of 2022, Barnes was recently arrested on some outstanding warrants. And this week, the Pensacola City Council considering a rate increase in hourly parking rates for downtown. That proposal would raise the fee to $1 per hour, which would generate an estimated $241,000 for the city's current budget. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the biggest reason for that change is to solve a parking inventory problem.
The number one complaint in the UWF study was we can't find spaces. And then we asked when you can't find spaces, and they say at nights and on weekends. Well, at night during the weekend, which we charge nothing.
And the last time the city raised parking rates was 2007. Mayor Reeves says it's a necessary step given everything that's been added downtown in recent years. 7:08, let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
It is a weather alert day as showers and thunderstorms are expected to move in this afternoon, lasting through the evening hours. A few storms could be strong, level 3 out of 5 of severe weather for today. High today near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. Thunderstorms come to an end by about 10 p.m. tonight, and then we look calm as we go into Thursday. Sunny skies, high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got cloudy skies, 69 degrees in Pensacola. It's 68 in Gulf Breeze and 66 in Milton. Your next news at 7:30. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Join Gordy and Ad Litem on the Pensacola Expert Panel Friday. Board members Karen Jolly and Susan Fortier will be telling us about Corks for a Cause, which is an evening of wine, delicious hors d'oeuvres, and music coming up on April 18th to raise funds for the most vulnerable children in our community. Tune in Friday at 9:30 with the Northwest Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I refuse the love you have for me. I refuse the love a little bit. I must have got lost somewhere down the line.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And just one real quick correction. I know when David was doing his news, he said that the bar had decided that the allegations made by Heather Lindsay in her complaint were false. They actually said it was political, which he said. And they also said it was outside of their scope to receive the kind of complaints that she was making. Just want to make sure we get that correct, and we will do going forward. Joining us now, we have Dr. Angela Bush. She is going to be speaking tomorrow night as part of the Civicon at the Rex Theater from 6 to 7:30. She is the area director of Jefferson County Schools in Alabama, and she was the principal of Irwin Middle School, and she turned around an underperforming school, and we very much want to know what she knows because we very much want to see that happen here in Escambia County. Dr. Bush, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. How are you all down in Pensacola?
Oh, we're doing great. We're, as you know, expecting some unpleasant weather today, but we are expecting a very pleasant speech tomorrow night where you can teach us what we need to know to make our schools better so that our kids can get the education they all were born to deserve. What do I need to know?
Well, number one for me, education is the heartbeat of society. So everyone that attends the conference tomorrow evening, I want them to walk away with knowing that school improvement and organizational improvement is an ongoing process. So whenever you're trying to reach excellence, the first thing, we must create a purpose for everyone so that everybody involved, all stakeholders, know that the work that they're doing is worthwhile. And then along the way, celebrate those small wins so that we all know that we're making a difference.
And so when you're doing this, one of the things that if you can get the kids to buy in, that's great. It seems like one of the perennial problems we have is getting the parents to buy in and to be a part of this. What do you do to help with that?
Well, we've done a number of things here. We've had quite a bit of success. However, for me, my mantra is when you value people, you will always yield positive results. So valuing people includes building relationships. So as the school, if we're needing parents to come in, we took on the role of we'll go and meet the parents where they are because we wanted to build relationships. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. So going into the community, making sure that we're visible for every event, forming those relationships with the city government, with different businesses in the area, the churches, and attending those recreational events for our students. Once we were able to do all of those things and make those connections, and we even did simple things like some parents were having trouble with assisting their kids with navigating through the educational platform when we started with the devices. So we would go out to the homes, make those home visits for the parents to help them help their children at home. So once they saw us reaching them where they were, then they were willing to come in to assist us. And the first thing we did, we had a parent university, and I'll give more details about that tomorrow evening. But we were able to look at all of the barriers that would prevent parents from attending sessions at a school where we talked about academics, attendance, and behavior. And as a leadership team, we were able to remove those barriers. But we learned about the barriers because we went into the community. So basically, we were modeling what we were expecting.
You know, it's really interesting you say that because we all know there's a lot of inertia involved in educational processes, and that inertia becomes what people believe is the norm because that's what they keep seeing. And that can be inertia by parents that are, you know, either uninformed or unaware or don't believe there's much change we had. That can be by teachers, that can be by students, that can be by community members around the schools. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is, yep, that's a problem. Here's how we're going to fix it. We're going to take a bunch of extra time and we're going to take some highly motivated teachers and we're going to go fix these problems and we're going to create an expectation of success and we're going to build relationships so that people can't just sit back and fall into the momentum and inertia patterns that have always existed. Am I getting it?
Absolutely. And what really helped propel us to the next level is that we formed a partnership with Studer Education. Mm. So they really helped us to hardwire some processes and procedures where we were creating systems so that we didn't work the people, we were working the systems, and a part of our system was building relationships.
I love that you were working in partnership, of course, you know, with Studer here. I love that that's a success moment where we could make it happen somewhere else. And obviously the goal is, well, if we can make it happen in Alabama, why can't we make it happen in Pensacola? Let's do that as well. We're talking right now to Dr. Angela Bush. She will be speaking tomorrow night at the CivicCon event at the Rex Theater from 6 to 7:30 tomorrow night, April 11th. Hang on for me just a second, Dr. Bush. We're going to come back to you in just a moment. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
Well, if you're heading northbound on Highway 29, that vehicle crash is still there. One northbound lane is opened, and on Pine Forest Road heading northbound as well, there is a vehicle crash. Be wary of that. If you do see anything, please give us a call on our traffic tip line. That is going to be 437-1620. Jimmy, with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Dr. Angela Bush. Dr. Bush, one of the things that is my perception is that in places where there's big turnaround in a school, like you saw at Irwin Middle School, a lot of times that's connected with a very strong personality, a very, you know, high energy, optimistic, faith-driven leader who understands people, works with students, and is kind of like the, you know, that person. And you seem to be that kind of a person. And the question I always have is, well, what if you don't have that person at a given school? Will these tactics work nevertheless, or does it really depend on having the right person in charge?
Well, again, with our partnership with Studer Education, They helped us to focus on collective efficacy. So, of course, we need that leader, but the work is not built upon that one person. So a part of our process and procedure was to build a strong leadership team so that whether your leader is present or not, the leadership team functions. And that leadership team includes all community stakeholders. We have students on our leadership team. We have teachers, community members, and parents. We have local churches. So again, just making sure that everybody understands the purpose, seeing that the work they're doing is worthwhile, and then understands they're making a difference. But again, I have to say that it's collective efficacy. And again, going back to Studer, a part of the process is helping to build capacity in leaders, starting with myself and with other leaders. That's how you really get true transformation, is when you look at building capacities with leaders, starting from the superintendent, principal, teachers, parents, and students.
You know, you mentioned before barriers to education. Obviously, you know, hunger can be a barrier, poverty can be a barrier, lack of social skills, lack of pre-K kinds of educational, you know, help that kids need, transportation needs for the parents. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be barriers to kids. One of the, and I love that you're talking about, hey, let's be honest about these barriers and let's see what we can do to, you know, overcome them somehow or other, including, you know, reaching out to parents through like a parent university kind of system. One of the solutions, suggestions, ideas that we've had come up more recently is how can we get more community members involved in what I would call parent surrogate kind of roles, where they're, you know, big brothers, big sisters, mentors, you know, tutoring, just giving kids more of that adult influence that can be a benefit for them. Do you see that as an essential ingredient, a potential ingredient? What do you think of those kind of efforts?
Absolutely. Let me tell you, the community was the lifeline for our transformational work at Irwin Middle School. And what I learned is that the community, they want to get involved. And oftentimes we say, well, the community is not involved. The parents don't care. What we learned is that sometimes people don't know how to support you. So as the school, we made it a part of our system to go to the community, to communicate our need to them, being transparent with our needs. Because we know that whatever happens in the school starts in the community. Whatever happens in the community bleeds over to the school. So essentially, we're all one. So our goal was to build relationships, put systems in place, and worthwhile work so that what we were doing would extend beyond the four walls of the community. And again, our community was so supportive in a number of ways. And I'll share those stories tomorrow at the Rec Theater with you all.
Great.
But again, the community, the community, the community.
How much, if any, was pay and salary a factor of your ability to make a difference in the school?
Well, actually, pay did not make a difference for us, because at the end of the day, as the leader, you have to be intentional. A part of those systems is making sure people understand that the work they're doing is worthwhile, creating that purpose, and then collaborating with the community to fill those gaps. Because again, oftentimes with education, people always say we're not paid enough, but education is a calling. It is heart work. It is kingdom work. So when you truly get the right people in place, they're looking for the results. People plus strategy plus culture equal results every time.
Very good. I love what I hear from you, and basically the idea that every institution is getting the results that it is designed to get. So if you're not getting the results you want, you've got to redesign the institution, and then you will get different results. I look forward to the details. We'll hear from you tomorrow night. This is Dr. Angela Bush. She's the area director of Jefferson County Schools in Alabama, going to be at the Rex Theater as part of the Civicon series that has been going on for all of these years. That is tomorrow night at the Rex from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Dr. Bush, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you so much for helping our kids and helping us learn how to help our kids better. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, and I look forward to meeting you all tomorrow evening.
Very good. 7:21 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Before we go to a break, just wanted to say one thing, a correction from yesterday. We talked yesterday about the whole incident with the Michael Stevens and the Kerry Smith and Romy White and the county commission and, you know, all of that. One thing, I actually talked with Romy a fair bit yesterday. One thing that she wanted to make sure I corrected, and I don't mind correcting if I get something wrong.
I had said that she left the meeting after the incident, and she did go out, but that was to see if anything else was going to happen outside, and then once that was resolved at nothing, she came back in and watched the rest of the meeting. So the allegation that she was there only in order to capture this on video and then left as soon as that was over, that's inaccurate, and I wanted to make sure that I made that correction for you. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Rebuild!
Good morning, 7:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are expecting some semi-severe weather later on this afternoon, you know, 11 noon, something like that, going through the early evening hours. We are in the 3 zone, but they have downgraded the level of water. We're expecting from anywhere of 5 to 7, 8, 9 inches yesterday, now saying maybe 2 to 3 inches. Wind, rain, obviously the possibility exists for tornadoes. It's a 3 out of 5, and even the 2 out of 5 has, you know, historically been capable of producing that stuff. So just be aware, be prepared, and, you know, it's a lot of times these things manifest to not much, and, you know, sometimes they produce tornadoes. So it's, like, really hard to know how to warn people in advance. That's why the schools closed early, or in Escambia County's case, didn't open at all today. 7:25, we got Jimmy learning. He's training today. He's doing a great job. Jimmy, welcome aboard, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And how's the traffic looking, sir?
Traffic is looking good. We still do have that if you're on Highway 29 heading northbound. They are still clearing out that crash, but roadway is open, so you should be good to go. If you are heading north on Pine Forest Road and Loblolly Lane, there is a partial roadblock, so use caution. And one vehicle crash on Hollywood Avenue and Hansel Street. So be careful out there. Everything else is looking green. If you do see anything else on the roadway, please give us a call at our traffic tip line, 437-1620. You can call or text. I'm Jimmy with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you've got a plumbing need of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall when the toilet flushes, or the water temperature or the water pressure is not good, or you fixed it yourself and now you need somebody to unfix your fix. Not that I would personally have that experience, but I did, and I called Barberry, and they were fantastic. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, there is a decision from the Supreme Court in Arizona on their state's abortion policy. They upheld the abortion ban dating back to the Civil War era. The law passed in 1864, and it bans all abortions except those that pose a risk to the mother, and pro-choice supporters there are now collecting signatures for a to put on their ballot in a constitutional referendum. The parents of the Michigan school shooter are now being sentenced to 15 years or up to 15 years in prison. James and Jennifer Crumbly sentenced yesterday after being convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the 2021 shooting deaths of four students by their son at a high school in Michigan. And Tiger Woods believes he's got another championship win in him. He believes he could win the Masters golf tournament in Augusta. He spoke to the press yesterday, on the eve of the golf's first major of the season. The 48-year-old says he thinks he can still get one more championship if everything comes together during the tournament.
It's a Cinderella story here at Augusta.
You think it'll happen?
And the crowd will be behind him.
Tears in his eyes.
It's up. It's gone. It's in the hole.
Cinderella story.
I mean, is golf one of those sports where you have to have youth on your side?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, you know, crafty old guys. Yeah. They can get after it. They might not be able to put it out there 350, but, you know, they can still do the
Mike Tyson's about to get back in the
ring. Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
I don't know, man. Remember when Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk were supposed to fight each other? And what did I say? I said, look, two mostly out of shape dudes pushing each other around. You think it sounds like a lot of fun. But when you actually see two non-professionals fighting each other, it's not all that entertaining.
Yeah, but Mike Tyson's still got it.
Oh, no. No, I...
Have you seen...
I wouldn't...
I've seen some of his training videos.
I would not... I don't know who in their right mind gets in the ring with Mike Tyson under any circumstance, period. I'm with you on that, no doubt. I'm not saying it's like that. I'm just saying... Well, I don't know what I'm saying. David, thanks so much for the update. 728 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I'm flipping through here things. I don't like telling bad cop stories. The media circus around us tends to love bad cop stories, which I think over time has contributed to this is why, you know, cops are bad kind of perception, right? Post Ferguson, all of that kind of stuff. So I don't love to, but I feel like you have to tell these stories because you got to tell what's the truth, and there are bad cops. And when there are bad cops, you have credibility for telling good cop stories because you also tell bad cop stories, right? Okay, this is a bad cop story. A former FHP trooper who was 2009's Trooper of the Year. You ready for this? Is pleading guilty to conspiring to distribute narcotics, conspiring to defraud the United States, and possessing firearms and ammunition while an unlawful user of controlled substances. Department of Justice says, it's out of Jacksonville, working as a designated task force officer with the DEA and employed as a FHP trooper, 45-year-old Joshua Eary, I don't know, along with an accomplice, committed a series of crimes between 2017 and 2023, stealing money and illegal drugs seized as evidence, distributing the stolen drugs through others, extorting or accepting bribes from drug dealers in exchange for protection from law enforcement. He had an addiction to prescription opioids. He traded a case of ammunition that he took from FHP and gave to a convicted murderer in exchange for oxycodone. Yeah, this is the movie. This is that movie. It's really, really bad. And we hope very, very rare.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Is a change in border policy on the horizon from President Biden?
According to Axios, President Biden is
very well aware that he's getting killed on immigration right now and is planning to try to put forward an immigration-related executive order at the end of April, at the end of this month.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House, the president floating the idea during the interview with Univision.
There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation.
Impeachment trial in the Senate of Homeland Security, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas delayed since House Republican leader Mike Johnson says he will not deliver the paperwork until next week. World Athletics saying today it'll pay $50,000 to gold medalists at the Summer Games in Paris that begin at the end of July. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 69 degrees right now. Cloudy skies in Pensacola. We do have an enhanced risk of severe weather today. Level 3 of 5 warning from the National Weather Service. Escambia County's meteorologist Scotland Williams says all forms of severe weather are on the table, including damaging wind gusts, flash flooding, tornadoes, and potentially heavy rain.
We could see heavy rainfall giving us 2 to 4 inches with even locally higher amounts, especially where we see intense rainfall or where storms move over the same area repeatedly.
And Williams does say that those storms probably should start around 2 p.m., last through later tonight because of the risk of severe weather. Schools were canceled. Escambia County schools were canceled. Santa Rosa schools are on early release. UWF is closing at noon. Baldwin County and Escambia County, Alabama also are releasing early for today. Well, Santa Rosa County leaders confirming that a fraudster was able to intercept over $850,000 sent to a vendor that does business with the county.
An ongoing investigation with several branches of law enforcement that are involved and bank investigators with one of the banks that we work with.
County Administrator Devan Cook says a substantial amount of that money has been recovered now. Milton Police and both Truist and Regions Banks are working to recover the full amount. County Clerk and Comptroller Donald Spencer says the vendor was the victim of a business email compromise, which allowed the fraudster to redirect payments from their account to a fraudulent one. The FBI and Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office are both investigating that. The city of Pensacola was likely to raise parking rates for the first time since 2007. The proposal would raise the fee to $1 per hour to park, including on nights and weekends, and would generate an estimated $241,000 to the city's budget.
The price hasn't been raised in years since we've had a baseball stadium, since we've had vibrancy downtown, and that is what comes with it. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of traditionalists out there that say, well, why don't you make parking free? Well, that would be the opposite impact.
Mayor D.C. Reeves says the parking study from UWF revealed the number one complaint was the lack of available spaces on weekend nights. That's when the city doesn't charge for parking. Governor DeSantis putting porch pirates on notice. He signed a bill yesterday to increase penalties for stealing packages from doorsteps, retail theft, and inciting looting on social media. HB 549 makes theft of property less than $40 a first-degree misdemeanor. Subsequent violations would be a third-degree felony, and any theft of more than $40 would also be a third-degree felony. Repeat offenders with more than 2 convictions could also face a potential 30-year prison sentence. DeSantis says thefts in Florida have decreased 30% since he took office. He says the state is distinguishing itself from more lawless states. And a Pensacola woman in critical condition after suffering a medical emergency and crashing into a home off Patton Drive yesterday. FHP says that woman was driving south on Patton when she suffered a medical issue, left the road, drove across a yard, and hit the front of a home. That woman was taken to the hospital. Troopers say nobody was at the home when that car crashed. It's 7:35, and Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Going back to that accident that we had on Highway 29 northbound, that has been cleared out. So thank you to the first responders who cleared that out. So we are open on Highway 29 now. Pine Forest Road, just south of Detroit Boulevard, there is a partial roadblock from a vehicle crash. So be wary of that. And down on Hollywood, we've got that vehicle crash that is still happening. So be wary if you are driving around downtown Pensacola. Other than that, everything's looking good. I-10 is looking clear. no roadblocks or anything like that. Not showing any slowdowns on Mobile Highway, Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays. If you do see anything out there, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knock, knocks them out. This is Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
It is a weather alert day as showers and thunderstorms are expected to move in this afternoon, lasting through the evening hours. A few storms could be strong, level 3 out of 5 of severe weather for today. High today near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. Thunderstorms come to an end by about 10 p.m. tonight, and then we look calm as we go into Thursday. Sunny skies, high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 69 and cloudy in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 66 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A new Boeing whistleblower has gone public with damaging allegations that the jet maker took manufacturing shortcuts to increase product rates of its 787 and 777 wide-body planes. The engineer alleged that almost 1,400 Boeing-wide planes currently flying are at risk of premature fatigue damage and structural failure. The FAA has said they will investigate. New York Community Bank, the regional lender that needed a $1 billion plus lifeline last month, is offering the country's highest interest rate for a savings account. NYCB raised the annual percentage yield offered via its online arm, My Banking Direct, to 5.55%. The standout rate could be a sign that NYCB is facing funding pressure, but still, if you can, take advantage. Futures are slightly higher just before the bell. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 9. That's your money now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
We used to argue about whose turn it was to clean the gutters, but then I had Leaf Filter gutter protection installed.
Wait, I told you Leaf Filter had free inspections and estimates and a lifetime guarantee.
Meaning we never have to argue about whose turn it is to clean the gutters again.
But I visited leaffilter.com/beacon first.
No, I did.
It doesn't matter who. Visit leaffilter.com/beacon to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this. We'll see what kind of a day it's going to be in a couple of hours. Mayor D.C. Reeves is with us, Mr. Mayor. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir. Morning, Andrew. You
good
doing all
right? Good to have you. Hey, I've got a couple of like follow-up to things I've asked you before, and I will forget if we don't do them right away. First one, we had asked, a citizen had asked me to ask you, Bayview parking, and I thought the rule was the boat spots, you pay for those. The regular parking over towards, like, the community center, you do not have to pay. What they were telling me is they had gotten a ticket in the other area, and the parking, somebody had told them that was actually appropriate. What did you find out?
Yeah, so we looked into that and realized it's not only at Bayview, but actually at all of our boat launches, the spaces are paid for a couple of reasons. One is because some people are using the single spaces for kayak launch, and you still using the launch, but not using necessarily a trailer. So what I've asked my team is to go back and review and just make sure that, that there's real clarity around that.
Okay.
You know, basically you've entered this zone that, so if there's people out there that, that have had that with some kind of confusion, certainly reach out to us. You know, we want to be fair. We want to be clear about what the rules are or aren't. We had some discussion in the building about that, because, and that's what I've said is, listen, if that's going to be our rule, then that's a perfectly okay. And that makes sense, but let's just make sure that when a citizen sees a regular space that, they're fully aware that that is a boat. And it does make sense. Geographically, it's a boat launch space, the same way on the other side of the bayou, the same way at the graffiti bridge. Those are all, used for boat launch spaces and are enforced accordingly. So, so that, you know, what we want is clarity for everybody. So, we're going to go kind of review that and make sure that the signage that's out front, whether that's repainting stripes a different color, whatever the case may be, we're going to make sure that that's fully clear to everybody.
Well, so I don't know where you guys are going to land on this, but for example, going to park at Graffiti Bridge because, let's say, I'm covering a news event that's happening there, like a protest a few years ago, or because somebody wants to actually paint Graffiti Bridge, I don't want to see those people get charged for parking there, much like if they're going to, you know, the Bayview Park and they're going there because we used to have, you know, the Children's Fiesta Parade there, or because they're going to the Bayview Community Center, or they're going to the Bayview Cross area or something like that. I want to see parking spaces available there for people where they don't have to pay. And you're, are sure. you telling well, me there well, will be or there well, won't be, or you're not sure yet?
What I'm saying is, well, there's you. Given two very different scenarios. One would be some kind of special event, special reason for something to happen, which of course clearly can be planned. But on the flip side of that, you know, you have to understand, we also have to respect the people that are, these are very, very, very affordable season, year-long passes to park there. That you know, how do I explain to someone who's paid for that to say, well, there's 10 people that have taken, you know, 20 people that have taken all those spaces.
I got you.
So,
I hear that.
You know, we understand we've got to respect the people that are also, and remember, what is the, why does it exist? It doesn't exist necessarily to paint the bridge or to, there's almost 200 spaces at Bayview Park on the other side of the building
right.
that are free of charge and can be used. You can park on the street actually, you know, in some areas around there. So, there's plenty of parking available, but we also have to, we can't take someone's money, and say, you can park here and use your boat all year and then say, well, just kidding. Cause there's people, you know, paying the bridge. So like, there's two sides of this to respect, I guess is what I'm saying. That understand what you're saying, but you know, we got to look at this both ways.
And at the very least, I fully agree with you that it just needs to be clear for people, whatever the rule is, yes, agree or disagree, exactly. The rule needs to be clear and people need to not park and then be surprised they got a ticket cause they didn't pay.
Absolutely.
Question about the lights on Three Mile Bridge, which have been off for quite a while now. And people are like, oh, I thought we almost had these lights going.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said the same thing in the same voice. but we continue to work with FDOT. Actually, Secretary Gaynor has reached out to me to ultimately start to outline. We are taking a step in the right direction. While we don't have the exact date, we've at least gotten close enough symbolically that that FDOT has reached out in writing to say, you know, here are the dates that we're going to do it. Here's the colors that we're going to do it. Here's the times that we're going to do it. And so they've started to put, it's not nothing of that is a surprise to me based on our previous verbal conversations, but they kind of have put in writing now, like, you know, so it feels like we're getting to the bitter end. Now what that date exactly is, we don't know yet, but, that was a letter I think I received in the last week of March.
You so, meant to say we're getting to the beautiful end though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know there's some good, you know, lighting analogy I could have used there, but yes, nonetheless, we are, it feels like we are getting to finality on, and once they're ready to publish that or, you know, whatever that those, dates are and all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, I get that question a lot. What's going to happen? I believe the policy is there's going to be a significant, hill to climb in terms of resolutions and things like that. When people start to ask, can we do this for this month or this
right,
for this
right.
week? There's going to be very, very few, very standard holiday situations that you can probably predict what a lot of those might be, you know, the 4th of July and
right.
things like that. Understand that the city doesn't hold the remote, nor does the county. So,
which is unfortunate because we know from experience that nobody is more nimble and flexible than FDOT. but, you know, some lights are better than no lights. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Let's get Jimmy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
Everything is looking pretty green. The crash we talked about earlier going northbound on Highway 29 has been cleared. Pine Forest Road, just south of Detroit Boulevard, that partial roadblock has been cleared as well. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. And two more real quick ones. One is the digital signboard at Palafox and Palafox and Garden that had once upon been proposed, you know, to replace the hanging, you know, whatevers. Is that happening? Not happening? What happened to that?
Not that I've seen. I'm not a big fan of that. I really wasn't when I saw it. I just think it doesn't, I don't know how that melds well with our, you know, historic character buildings downtown and then having a big billboard right there. However, if there were solutions that were better, you know, handling those banners is not the easiest thing either. And that's something we do. So, if there's some happy medium there to make that a little easier to manage and cleaner, then we may go that direction. But no progress or I'm not looking to do the digital thing there.
The neon pelican at the welcome area coming in from Gulf Breeze.
Yeah, exactly. Been getting a lot of updates on that. We should be, like many projects, we were a little over on cost. We expected that for a couple months now. We actually have FDOT helping us there. I want to give them credit that they're chipping in. Remember, they've given us some of the original high $300,000 for that, for us to do something other than what they had proposed. Because we had a delta there, they thrown in some money, so we're going to meet that delta. It's bid, and we should be getting very, very close now to that to go under construction.
Outstanding. And then the last one, I expect your answer is I have no earthly idea, but I still want to ask. The plane that people have seen flying overhead, towing the whatever it is, doing what seems to be mapping or who knows, and it's been in a grid pattern. It's been a couple of different days this has happened. You know anything?
I figured that was you, so I didn't ask anything.
All right, fair enough.
No, I personally do not, but you know, I would have to defer to our airport or something. I'm not even assuming that they're coming to and from our airport. So,
right.
But yeah, I'm not exactly sure exactly what's going on there.
All right, very good. I want to give you a couple of praise notes. Number one is you are looking at putting a 4-way stop in at Tarragona and Romana, the northeast corner of Southtown. Oh my God, yes, please. because it is people expect it to be a 4-way stop. People who are trying to cross run into trouble with traffic. But I do know there's an issue with the proximity to Garden and FDOT and the traffic light and all of that, right?
That's correct. And also, the first one we knocked out that was the 2-way that turns into a 4-way because it feels like it should be was the one right by Seville,
right.
Government in Jefferson.
Right.
So we got that one done early on. And this was kind of the next one on my list, personally, to be like, we all drive it. We all see people stop on Tarragona when they're not supposed to. I mean, everything about it tells you you're supposed to stop.
Right.
And so that's just the reality. So there's testing that needs to go in place. FDOT is going to do their own testing. And there's a lot of legal reasons for that. That's not just to do it. There are a lot of legal, you can't just put a stop sign anywhere you want. So for a lot of reasons. But anyway, yes, very excited to see.
Maybe you can't, but I've got red spray paint in a pole. I mean, joking.
Yeah, in your driveway you can put a stop sign.
That's right.
You know, in the streets, maybe not.
Well, we'll look. I'm eager to see that happen if it does turn out that makes sense. Another one is, you know, your grand parking plan is coming into focus, sir. Now, of course, you and I disagree about some of the particulars of this, but the part I really agreed with you about is if we can get to an app that really works, that everybody understands, it doesn't have problems, and then we can seduce the private lot owners to abandon the redness of their lot and start using the Park Mobile app, we can maybe solve this red versus blue turf war that's been going on for years.
Well, and listen, I'm glad I was asked the question in the press conference and, you know, to use this platform to just explain this one thing that I think people don't understand is that Park Mobile, the technology we're using, is just the technology. They don't enforce, they don't tow. And so a lot of people are confused because they'll say, well, I've seen private lots start to pop up as Park Mobile. Well, that's their right. We're just a customer of Park Mobile the same way anybody could be a customer of Park Mobile. That doesn't have anything. We don't bless that. We don't have any say. I mean, anybody, you know, if Andrew McCain is a parking lot, he can call Park Mobile and say, we want to be your technology solution. So now they can't tow, they can't boot, you know, but – you know, if more people, you know, every private lot has their choice of who they want to pick. If more of those private lots end up picking Park Mobile, that's just that much more synergy around, you know, using one app. And I think, you know, that could be a good thing, but that's, you know, that's their right. So, but yeah, we're going to raise that rate, you know, from 50 cents to $1, first raise our rate in 17 years. start to generate some, you know, actual revenue in parking, which just will go back into to where you're using that parking and trying to make it nicer, make it safer.
And eventually move the parking rate question from ordinance into the budget discussion, which I think that makes perfect sense as well. That's a good thing as well.
Okay.
Sort of the last thing on all this is obviously the cyber incident, the ransomware incident. You guys have been working with that. The basic update is what? No penalties for anybody who runs into a problem through May 1st. That's when you'll start to resume total normal operations. But we are like, what, 85, 90% back up? Most everything is running. Bill pay is back up and so forth, right?
Yeah, for just a couple minor software things that you may notice if you go Osceola Golf Course, the software, we're still testing, right, things like that. So, I mean, we're kind of to the lowest parts of the priority list in terms of restoring things. But the number one thing for listeners out there is bill pay for sanitation and Pensacola Energy are back up and running, fully operational. I extended the grace period ultimately to get those paid from what would normally have been 3 days, which I didn't think would be necessarily fair to 3 weeks. So we're giving everybody no late fees, no, you know, basically we back to normal billing, on May 1st. So, you know, that gives everybody a little bit of time and to get the word out. So certainly appreciate the ability to do that. The one other thing that you're going to see is that, we made that step, as we said, out of abundance of caution, like we did in 2019. Mm-hmm. We're going to notify all of our customers, there's enough, possibility that something, could have gotten out there. However, we don't have any specificity. We don't know that what type of information may or may not have gotten out. But I'd rather be safe than sorry. And so we're going to notify everybody. We'll give a 1-800 number. We'll do credit monitoring for all of our citizens and all of our customers. You should get a letter next week that outlines some of that. You see that a lot with banks and, you know, a lot of different vendors do this. It's almost, you know, sad in a way. We see a lot of these letters come through, but, you should be getting something like that from us that should, you know, help keep you protected in the event that something may or may not have gotten out there.
Very good. And you've got some proposals. CRA was working on this with the Motor Lodge possibilities. You've also got the RFPs came back, two of them for recycling. So that is kind of in the works and processing. And
yep,
lots of good stuff going on, including the Bruce Beach is going to open and the Port-a-Loos, Portland Loos or whatever they're called, are going to start to be installed over the next couple of weeks. So lots of stuff happening in the city.
Right.
We always like to end with a lightning round. First one, I may be undershooting you age-wise on this one, or overshooting you age-wise on this one, so feel free to tell me you don't even know what I'm talking about, but do you have a favorite album cover art that you think was the coolest album cover art ever?
Ooh, my term would be CD or maybe cassette cover art. No, I don't, man. I'm not, you know so much more about music than me.
I just know more about things that were made on vinyl, but that's fine. I worried that one might overshoot you age-wise. Do you reuse Ziploc bags? And if so, do you wash them?
Rarely. I mean, I would have to be probably like a non-food item. It would have to just be like you were holding some, you know,
like
something
you got
random in there.
Bits of pencil or screws or something like that, but not for anything that's going to be food-wise.
Like
okay,
that.
All right, fair enough. And then when you make yourself, if you do, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, do you peanut butter one side, jelly on the other, peanut butter both sides, jelly in the middle, peanut butter and jelly mixed up together in a bowl first and then spread as a single unit, or some completely other answer?
No, very, very adamant. Peanut butter one side, jelly the other, and the peanut butter is going to be perfectly uniform across. I should see no bread.
That's almost a Gandalf quote. Thou shalt see no bread.
Exactly. I mean, it's an invalid sandwich.
I love it. It's a logical fallacy. What's wrong with you people? Oh, man. DC Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola. As always, sir, a pleasure. We'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night and talking to you next week. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thank you.
7:55 News Radio 92.3. We got Jimmy with traffic on the fives.
Everything is looking pretty green right now. We got the crashes that we mentioned earlier cleared up. So thank you for our first responders on that. And if you do see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. My name is Jimmy with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you're thinking about that next vehicle or putting off thinking about that next vehicle, stop putting it off and go do something about it. Get a car you're going to enjoy, you're going to rely on, you're going to like, you're going to not feel ashamed of and have to park at the back of the parking lot so nobody notices you're getting out of it. I mean, don't do any of those things. You're better than that. Go to Frontier Motors, look around. They've got 300 good quality used cars, trucks, vans, minivans, SUVs, Jeeps. They got all of it, and they're all for good prices, low miles, great condition, cars that are year, two, 3 years young. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why do you call her Lassie?
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Oh, Pensacola State College just announced that they are closing at noon today, so... They just put that out within the last 5 minutes. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, crews in Maryland still working around the clock trying to clear debris from the Baltimore Bridge collapse. The Coast Guard says their priority now is finding the bodies of the three remaining construction workers that are still missing.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, man, we got a lot of good stuff coming up, including, by the way, Men Who Cook is on Sunday. Come out to Wahoo Stadium. It's a great time. I recommend you buy your tickets early because they typically do sell out. It is an excellent event for the Pace
Center. Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
We're watching the weather today. Severe storms possible later this afternoon. We'll talk with meteorologist Scotland Williams from Escambia County after Fox News.